The following shiur has been delivered by Rabbi Shaul Hamawi of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Sephardic Halacha Center.
For more shiurim or information, please visit vshc.org or call 1-844-200-TSHC. That's 1-844-200-8742.
We're going to speak about the parasha, and we're going to also take out some halachot that we could take out from this week's parasha, Parashat Vayishlach. And these halachot that we want to speak about is the halachot of Rodef. What is Rodef? Rodef is Chas V'Shalom when a person is chasing after somebody because he wants to kill him. And I know these things don't usually happen amongst us, Baruch Hashem. But still, those halachot are halachot that are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Choshen Mishpat, the end of Choshen Mishpat. And we should always know all the halachot in Shulchan Aruch. And we'll see also that sometimes there are certain scenarios that could pertain to us. And B'zod Hashem, we're going to learn a little bit of these halachot. So let's start with the parasha. The parasha starts off and says, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv, Arsa Sa'ir Sedei Edom. Yaakov Avinu sends Malachim to Esav, his brother, to the land of Sa'ir, to the field of Edom. Vayitzav otam limol, koto merun laduni le'Esav, ko amar avdecha Yaakov im levan garti v'ayhar ad'ata, v'ayhi lishor v'hamor otzon v'ayvil v'shifcha, v'ayishlacha le'agid laduni limsochen v'aynecha. So he sends the Malachim to go give a message to Esav, his brother, that so says your servant Yaakov, that I've been living for a while with Lavan, and I have some shor v'hamor, so on, and Arvid v'shimcha, and I wanted to send you my greetings. I want to just make sure that, you know, we're good together. Rashi says she'ani shalem imach umvakesh avatcha. And I want to be b'shalom with you. I want to be in peace with you. I want you to find favor in my, I should find favor in your eyes. So, the malachim go to Esav and they come back. Vayashuvu ha-malachim in Yaakov lemor, banu el achicha el Esav, v'gam olech likratecha v'arba'amot ish haimor. So, the malachim go to Esav and they come back and they tell Yaakov that we came to Esav, your brother, and you're treating him like a brother, but him, He's not only treating you like a brother, but he's even going after you and he's chasing after you, and he has 400 men that he's hired in order to come after you. So this is what the Malachim told Yaakov. So, Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzach lo, vayachatz et ha'am asher ito, v'et atzon v'et ha'bakar v'agemalim v'shnei machanot. And we all know the rest of the story, but so it says over here that Yaakov Avinu was very, very scared. Now the Pasuk says twice, it says, Vayira Yaakov Me'od, he was very scared. Vayetzer lo, and he was also very troubled. Vayetzer, Lashon Tzara. So, that's two Lashonot over here, and we have to understand, what are these two languages of Vayira Yaakov Me'od, Vayetzer lo, why is it repetitious? Why does it have to say twice, Vayira Vayetzer lo? So Rashi says over here, Vayira Hashem Yehareg, he was scared that he might get killed. Vayetzer lo im yeharog hu et aharim, and he was also troubled if he's going to go and kill others. So we have to understand over here that we understand that why he was scared he's going to get killed. That's very understandable. But why is he scared he's going to kill others? He's not just killing others for no reason. He's killing people who are coming after him to chase him. And we have a rule. The Torah tells us a rule. And the Gemara says, Haba lehol gecha, hashkem lehol go. Somebody who comes to kill you, chas v'shalom, so get up fast before he has a chance and kill him. So Yaakov Avinu has all the rights over here to go kill those people. So what is he scared of? Why is he troubled? Why is what's Vayetzer lo im yaharog hu et aharim? That's the obvious question. I saw a few answers. We'll just mention two of them. One of the answers I saw is from the Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi. Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi wrote a sefer to explain Rashi and the Torah, one of the very important sefarim that there are on Rashi. And he says like this, he just says that Yaakov Avinu, of course, knew that he's permitted to kill Esav or anyone else who was chasing after him to kill him. But he was just scared that he knew that Yitzhak Avinu loved Esav. Like we know, Yitzhak is Esav, Yitzhak Gefiv, Ve'erivka Ohebet Yaakov, Erivka loved Yaakov. And if now Yaakov Avinu is going to go and kill Esav, so he was scared of the reaction of his father, Yitzhak. Who knows? Maybe Yitzhak is going to maybe curse him or something. We know that the Brachot already went to Yaakov unintentionally from Yitzhak. Yitzhak really meant to give him to Esav and then it ended up with Yaakov. But who knows now if Yaakov is going to kill Esav, who knows what Yitzhak's going to react to that. Maybe he's going to give a curse to Yaakov, Chas v'Shalom. And that's what he was scared of. That's why he didn't want to be in a situation that he's going to be forced to kill Esav. That's one answer. The second answer is, I saw in the Sefer Yedei Moshe. Yedei Moshe is a Pirush on the Midrash Rabbah. And he says something very interesting. He says that we know that Rivka Imenu said before, in the end of Parashat Toldot, it says over there, Lama Ishkal Gam Shenehem Yom Echad. One second. Yeah. In Perek Kavzayim Pasuk Mem Hei, it says, she was telling Yaakov. She told Yaakov, Hine Esav Achecha Midnachem Lecha Lehorgecha, Ve'ata Veni Shema Bekoli, Ve'kum Berach Lecha Levan Achecha Rana, go run away to Haran from Esav, Ve'yashavta Imo Yabim Achadim, Ad Asher Tashuv Hamat Achecha. Atshuv Af Achecha Mimcha, ושכח את אשר עשית לו, ושלחתי ולקחתיך משם. למה יש קל גם שניכם יום אחד? So רבקה אמנו told יעקב אבינו to go run away to לבן, and because I don't want him to chase you and to kill you, and why should I lose both of you in one day? Rashi over there explains that if he's going to get up and kill you, so if he's going to get up to kill you and you're going to kill him, so his sons are going to get up and kill you. So you're both going to end up dying. That's how Rashi over there explains that he's going to kill you and you're going to kill him and then his sons are going to kill you. And that's what she said, Lama Ishkal Gam Shnechem Yom Echad. Now the Chachamim learn from here that this pasuk over here, that Lama Ishkal Gam Shnechem Yom Echad, this is a prophecy. This is really what Rivka Imenu knew that's going to end up happening, that they're both going to die in the same day. And as we know, that at the end when Yaakov Avinu died in Mitzrayim, and they brought him up to be buried in Eretz Israel, in Eretz Canaan, in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, so Esav came and made a big protest that he wanted, he said that it's for him to be buried in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, not for Yaakov. And to make a long story short, Esav got killed over there on the spot before the burial. And that's considered like they both died in the same day. So that was the prophecy of Rivka, that they're both going to die in one day. So now we understand over here why Yaakov Avinu was scared. Yaakov Avinu was scared because exactly what Rivka was saying over there, that if he's going to go kill Esav because Esav tried to kill him, so automatically what's going to happen, then Yaakov Avinu is also going to end up dying, because like Rivka is saying in her prophecy that they're both going to die the same day. So it comes out that really both Vayira and Vayetzer, they're both ending up in the same fright. They're both the same reason of fright. Vayira, she says, he might get killed. Right, okay, so if Esav's going to kill him, yeah, that's what Yaakov is scared of. And the second thing is Vayetzer lo, if he's gonna kill Esav, and then he's gonna also end up dying. So either one, they're both afraid that he's gonna end up dying. That's That's the way the Dei Moshe is explaining over here the two things. So let's maybe now speak a little bit about this halacha of Habal lehogecha hashkem lehogo. So we know that there's a basic halacha of Rodef. Rodef means that when Chas v'Shalom, a person's Reuven, is chasing Shimon with a gun, with whatever it is, and it's clear that he wants to kill him, so the halacha is that now he's, like, so to speak, Hayav Mita. He's in a state of Hayav Mita because anyone who sees that is allowed to kill him. Now, there's guidelines. It doesn't just happen like that. We have to know, first of all, that if there's an option of saving this person from getting killed by hurting the guy who's chasing, by hurting Reuven, even by removing a limb, cutting off his hand or something on his eye, whatever it is, doing whatever it is without killing the Rodef, without killing Reuven that's chasing, that's what a person must do. And if he doesn't do that, and instead he kills him, so the guy who killed him is really Hayav Mita. The Rambam says he's Hayav Mita, but the Beddin are not going to kill him. And the reason, the Poskim already speak about why they actually don't kill him, but he just did something that he would deserve to get killed. If, in other words, we're talking about if somebody kills the Rodef when he was able to just prevent him from killing through hurting him or through taking off a limb, whatever it is, so the person who killed the Rodef is Hayav Mita, but Bedin, for some reason, I'm not going to get into it, don't actually kill him. So that's number one. So we know that a person who is Odef gets killed unless he's able to be stopped by some other way of hurting him. That's the Odef. Also, the Chathela, the Shulchan Aruch says, now Shulchan Aruch speaks about this in Chashim Mishpat, the end of Chashim Mishpat, the end of Shulchan Aruch. It's Iman Taf Kaf Hei. And he says over there that also the Chathela, before a person kills the Odef, he should warn the Odef. He should tell him that you know you're chasing after a Jew, you're aware of that. And you know, you're aware that someone who kills someone gets killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge over that. Shofech dam ha'adam, ba'adam damo yishafech. You tell this to the Rodef. If the Rodef doesn't care and he continues trying to chase this person and kill him, so, of course, then you have to take action. Bidi'avad, even if you didn't warn him, just warning, he could also get killed. This is only a chathayla. We know that Katan, even if this person who's chasing is under Bar Mitzvah, the same halacha applies. The same halacha applies, and we say that if you can't hurt him, you can't prevent him any other way, you kill him. You kill the Katan. Whether he's chasing another Katan or he's chasing, could be whatever, whoever it is that he's trying to kill. A male, a female, or a baby, whatever it is. Whoever it is, the Rodef is Hayav Mita. Now, the question comes up, is, what if a person, while he's chasing the other person to kill him, right? So let's give names. We're talking about Reuven is chasing Shimon to kill Shimon. Now, we'll speak about each of them, Reuven and Shimon. While he's chasing him and he's running away, so what if they do some damage on the way? Let's say they break a window, let's say they step on something, they break something, whatever it is. Could be all kinds of cases. So what would be the halacha now as far as paying for the damages? So the halacha is like this. Let's first start with Reuven, the one who's chasing. The halacha is that if while Reuven is chasing Shimon, he breaks something, so he does not have to pay for any of the damages. Now, why is that? Why? Just because he's chasing someone, he's doing an avera, so now he's going to get off the hook? No. So the reason is like this. The reason is because we have a famous rule that's called Kim le bidraba mine. And that means that whenever a person does an avera that consists of really two averot, and he does them both simultaneously, exactly the same time. So the halacha is that you don't give a person two punishments for something he did all in one shot. For one avera that consists of a few things, he doesn't get all the punishments, he gets only the most strict punishment. So that means that we always look at the strict punishment and that's all he's gonna get. Let's give him an example. Let's say somebody's neighbor owns a cow, or owns a chicken, or whatever, owns some kind of animal. And this guy decides he wants to, you know, he's a little hungry. So he goes on Shabbat, and he takes his shechita knife, and he goes and slaughters his friend's cow, or whatever it is. So what did he just do now? He just did two things, at the same time exactly. He was mechalel Shabbat, and that's for Hilul Shabbat, we all know the Hayav Mita, Hayav Skila. And at the same time, while he was Mechalel Shabbat, he also killed his friend's cow. So does he have to pay for the cow? The answer is he doesn't have to pay for the cow. Why? Because exactly the same time that he did the Hilul Shabbat, that's when he damaged his friend's cow. And therefore, there's no two punishments, there's no two hayuvim that could come on a person both the same exact time. If they don't come exactly the same time, of course, he would have to get killed and also pay. But because they both came at the same time, that's why he doesn't have to get, he's patur from the payment. And that's exactly what we're saying over here also. That a rodef, Reuven over here that's chasing Shimon, since we just finished saying that anybody who sees him, any Jew who sees him, has now a hayuv to go and save Shimon by killing Reuven. So Reuven now is in a state of a hayuv mita. Reuven now is in a state of hayuv to get killed. And therefore, anything that he does, any damages that he does now during that state, he's not responsible for that. Because it's like getting two punishments. It's like getting a hayuv mitah together with a hayuv tashlumin. So he does not have to pay for any damages while he's chasing. That's the halacha of rodef. Now, what's the halacha of the guy who's getting chased? The Shimon. What if Shimon on the way breaks a window or he breaks whatever it is and he does some damage? Does Shimon have to pay for those damages? So the answer is, Shulchanahu says that it depends. Really, the halacha should be that he's always hayav. He was always hayav to pay for the damages. Why? Because even if you tell me that by damaging his friend's thing or whatever, whoever it is, whoever's, let's say he broke a window and he jumped through the window or whatever it is, but the halacha is a matzil atzmo bemamon havero is still hayav to pay. Even if you saved your life by doing some damage to somebody's property, but that doesn't get you off the hook from paying for that damage. So that's halacha in Baba Kama, that it says that a person that saves himself or saves whatever it is with his life with someone else's mamon, he's still responsible to pay for that mamon. Of course, he's allowed to save himself because pikuach nefesh, but that doesn't get him off the hook for paying for the damage. So that's halacha for the nirdaf. However, what if the thing that he damaged belongs to the rodef? So while, let's give an example. The rodef is chasing somebody in his own house, in the rodef's house, and the guy who's getting chased broke the window of the rodef and he jumped out of the window. So does he have to pay for that window? The answer is no. The answer is no. Why? Because it doesn't make sense to say that the property of the rodef is more important than the rodef himself. If you tell me that the rodef himself is allowed to get killed, you're allowed to kill the rodef, so for sure that his money is not going to be any better than him. Also if there's no responsibility for killing the guy, so also there's not going to be responsibility for damaging the guy. So that's halacha of the nirdaf. So that means that he's always going to be hayav for the damages unless the damages were caused to the guy who's chasing. That's as far as the nirdaf. Now let's give another case. The next case is that you have three guys. You have a rodef, you have Reuven that's chasing Shimon, and then you have a guy's name is Levi, and he's chasing Reuven in order to kill Reuven because he's a rodef. Right? Because he wants to save Shimon, he wants to save the guy who's getting chased. So he's running after the rodef. And of course, he's doing something that's right to do, and so it's a mitzvah to do, to hayuv to do, in order to, yeah, he's supposed to save the guy who's getting chased. But now, while Levi is chasing, he does some damage. So what is halacha for Levi? Does he have to pay for any damages? The halacha is, the Gemara says, that he does not have to pay for any damages. What's the reason? The reason is that really, also, min hadin, he should be hayav. There's no reason really why to get him off the hook. But the reason why Hachamim took him off the hook, they gave him a special heter. This special heter is that he doesn't have to pay for the damage because we don't want it to be we don't want to have a situation that a person is going to hold himself back from saving somebody because he doesn't want to start being responsible for people's property. So, in order to not, in order to discourage people from saving somebody, so therefore Hachamim gave him a special leeway that he does not have to pay for whatever damages while he's chasing the Rodef. That's the halacha. That means that we have three people. The Rodef is patur from everything, and so is the Rodef after the Rodef. So is the guy who's chasing the Rodef to save the Nirdaf. They're both off the hook for two different reasons, but they both don't have to pay for damages. And the guy who's getting chased, he has to pay for damages unless the damage was caused to the guy who's chasing him to kill him. That's as far as the damages are with the damages of while they're being rodef. Now let's speak about another kind of rodef. Another kind of rodef is what the Torah speaks about in Parashat Mishpatim. And that's the halacha of Baba Mahteret. And Baba Mahteret is a person who is breaking into somebody's house. And he's breaking into somebody's house. Now, he doesn't, not necessarily because he wants to kill, he's not a murderer, but, you know, his ultimate purpose is to steal. He wants money. But the Torah tells us that this person that's breaking into somebody's house, en lo damim. Im b'machteret imatzeh aganav. I forgot what it says exactly, but it says im b'machteret, so en lo damim. Let me just look at the pasuk. I'll tell you exactly how the pasuk says it. Pasuk says, one second. אם במחתרת ימצא הגנב והוקב המת, אין לו דמים. If the גנב is found in the מחתרת, that means that he dug underneath the walls, or whatever, he dug the walls, he broke the walls, and he got into the house, and he got killed. So, אין לו דמים. What does that mean, אין לו דמים? He has no blood. It's like he has no blood. Imagine you have a guy without no blood. You let it kill him? Well, of course, if he has no blood, then he's dead. So, that means, in other words, the Torah is telling us, look at this guy, like he's already dead. You're allowed to kill him right now. No problem. Now, the question arises, why? What's he doing? What's this guy doing? He's not chasing after anyone to kill him. He's coming in because he wants cash. He wants whatever. He wants jewelry. He wants. So why are you allowed to kill him? Why does this guy consider like he has no blood? So the Hachamim explained to us that the reason is because this guy, really what he is a rodef. This guy is really a person who's planning on killing. He's coming with a plan. Because, says the Gemara, that this guy who's breaking into this house, he knows very, very well that if he'll be caught red-handed trying to steal, so there's no way that the owner of this house, that the guy who he's stealing from, he'll be able to contain himself and watch him steal and, you know, tell him, Tfaddal, here, come and take everything and I'm watching you and I'm not going to do anything. He knows very well that when he's going to be caught, so the guy who lives in this house who he's stealing from is going to come after him. He's going to come after him. So now, since he knows that, so he already has a plan that when that will happen, he's going to kill the Baal HaBayit. He's going to kill this guy. So really, in essence, what this person really is, he's a person who's coming to kill. And since he's coming to kill, this is a typical example of a Rodef. And therefore, that's what the Torah is telling us over here, that En Lo Damim, he has no blood, and there's no problem to kill him. Now, first thing we have to know is that we have a Gemara. The Gemara tells us that it depends. There's exceptions. There's sometimes that we assume that he's not coming to kill. For example, says the Gemara, when let's say this thief is the father of the Baal HaBayit. That means that the father is breaking into his son's house to steal from his son. So what would be the halacha in such a case? Could the son get up and kill his father? The halacha is no. Why? Why can't he kill his father? The reason is because when the father is coming into his son's house, then we don't have this assumption that he's coming with a plan to kill. Because this is his son, he's not going to kill his son. He's only coming for the money. And he's not coming with the intention to come and kill his son. So therefore, in regular case of a father and son, you know, unless we know otherwise, but in regular father and son relationship, that the son is not allowed to kill his father. The son's not allowed to kill his father because we know, we don't assume that the father is coming to kill his son, and therefore, that doesn't apply. And so too would apply for anybody. Anybody who we know that, if the thief loves this person so much, it's true, he's coming to steal from him. Whatever reason he's coming to steal. But if we could assume that he's not coming, if we know for sure 100% that he's only coming for money and he doesn't have any intention to steal, just like a father doesn't want to kill his son, so he also doesn't want to kill this guy. So in such a case, this person is the Baal HaBayit is not like, he doesn't have a halacha of rodef. And now this is going to translate also to the same thing that we spoke about before, about doing damage. That if it's not a father and son, a regular person is breaking into somebody's house, and we're saying En Lo Damim, so if while he's in this house, looking for things to steal, he breaks something, he does whatever damage, so just like we said before, a rodef is patur from paying for any damages, because since now he's in a state of a hayuv mita, so he is not responsible for paying for damages. And therefore also over here, when this person is inside this house trying to steal, and we're calling him a rodef because he would kill now, so therefore he does whatever damage, he doesn't have to pay for whatever damage he does. However, a father that comes into his son's house, so the halacha is that he does have to pay for damages, because since he's not a rodef, and since the person cannot, and there's no permission for anyone to kill this father of the Baal HaBayit, so if the father damages while he's in the mahteret, while he's stealing, he has to pay for that damage. Now the poskim speak about also, what if he took things out? He stole. Yeah, he stole from this guy's house. He went home. He took all the stuff to his house, or whatever he stole. So of course, if those stuff are still intact, he has to return them back to the Baal HaBayit. He has to return them back The question, there's a machloket in the poskim. What happens if he stole things and he took them home and at home he broke them? At home he discarded them. Does he have to pay now for those things that he stole? Those things that he stole and damaged? It's a machloket in the poskim. It's a machloket in the halacha, and therefore, usually, like we always say, that we can't force this person to pay, because he could say that I have those poskim that according to them I don't have to pay. So that would be the halacha, that he wouldn't have to pay for whatever he stole and he brought home and he broke. Of course, so if they're intact, he has to give them back. But if they're broken or they're discarded, so then we can't force him to pay. Of course, if he wants to do proper tshuva and fix his act, so it's a good idea for him to pay. But we can't force such a person to pay for those damages. That's the halacha of Mahteret. Now, there's more guidelines for this Baba Mahteret. The Rambam says that if a person, let's say, is found in somebody's field, or in somebody's yard, or whatever it is, so the Rambam says that over there we don't have the halacha of Baba Mahteret. Why? Because we have to, again, like we said before, that it has to be a situation that he's coming with a plan to kill. But if, let's say his plans are that I'm coming in, I'm jumping out, and most probably the guy is not going to be there, and in other words, the owner's not going to be there, and I'll just run away if I see him. So then we know he's not coming with a plan to kill. So of course we can't kill him now. So therefore the Ramban says if he's found in his storage house or whatever it is, or in storage, in a place that's not usual for the Baal HaBayit to be there all the time, so then there's no halakha of Baba Mahteret, you're not allowed to kill him. The Ra'avad argues in the Rambam, and he pushes it even further. He says that even a person who's breaking into someone's house, but he's breaking into someone's house not during the night, but during the day, also the same halakha applies, that you're not allowed to kill him. Why? Because he says that anyone who comes during the day, the only way to do it is, to run in, sneak in, and sneak out. And since he's only here to sneak, he's not coming to, he's not coming to go search the whole house. He's just coming in for a drop and sneaking in. Again, he's not coming with a plan to kill, and therefore you're not allowed to kill him. Now, that's a machloket between the Rambam and the Ra'avad. And the Tur even says even more on top of what the Ra'avad says, is that even during the night, if let's say this guy didn't break into the house, but he came into the house because he found the doors unlocked, or he found the window that's unlocked, and he just came in through whatever it is, or an easy way of getting into the house. So I'm sorry. So the halakha is that there's no halakha of Baba Mahteret. There's no din of Baba Mahteret and such a thing. So according to Ra'avad, the only time that is a Baba Mahteret would be during the night, and if he breaks in. If he digs up, whatever it is, that's when there's a halakha of Baba Mahteret, and the Bach over here rules the halakha ma'aseh, that we have to be mahmir. We're talking about people's lives over here, so we have to be mahmir like the Da'at of the Ra'avad, that there's no, we shouldn't permit this person to kill him, we shouldn't permit anyone to kill this person unless it has all these guidelines, even according to the Ra'avad. That means it has to be during the night, and it has to be that he's really breaking into the house and not just coming through an open door. Okay. We'll say another interesting prat that has to do with these halachot. The Gemara says that What if the guy is coming in on Shabbat? What if the guy is breaking into the house on Shabbat? And while he's, what's he doing? He's breaking into the, he's breaking the wall of this house in order to get into the house. No, he doesn't, he's not doing something so smart. He doesn't realize that the house is not that strong. And while he's breaking the wall, all of a sudden the entire wall caves in right on top of him and he gets buried under the wall. Let's say a big brick wall and he gets buried under the big brick wall. All the, you know, all the bricks all over the place. So, now, are you allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat to go get this guy out? Could you dig around it and around him to pull this person out? Or even just to remove the rocks, that's also Chilul Shabbat, because we know that whatever you, when a person gets, when a person prepares land and in order to plant, that's a toladav horesh. Just like horesh is plowing. Plowing is getting ready the land in order to plant it. So too, when you remove rocks or you clean out some land in order, and you prepare it that it should be possible to plant there, that's also a toladav horesh. And so removing the rocks over here in this case from this mapolet, from this wall that fell on the ground, would also be a Hailul Shabbat. So of course, all the time, if this would happen to anybody, Pikuach Nefesh is Dohai Shabbat, even if you don't know if the guy is Jewish or not Jewish, and you don't know if the guy is still alive, he's not alive, you don't even know if the guy is there. You don't even know if there's anyone there. The halacha is always you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat for all these, even if you have all these sefikot one on top of another. But the halacha is, as the Gemara and the Rambam also brings it down, that what, and also Mishnah Berurah also in Hilchot Shabbat brings it down. He says that this guy who is Baba Machtere, this guy who's breaking into somebody's house, so we're saying that En Lo Damim, like he has no blood and you're allowed to kill him, so if he has no blood, so what's the heter to be Mechalel Shabbat? You can't be Mechalel Shabbat for someone who's dead. You can't. So the halacha would be that you're not allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat to save this person's life. And that's something that, we can't be Mechalel Shabbat. But what if it would be a father and a son? What if the father would be breaking into the son's house on Shabbat and then the wall caves in and falls and you get buried under the wall. So what's halacha? The halacha is you could be Mechalel Shabbat. Why? Because like we said, he's not Hayav Mita. He's not Hayav Mita. There's no permission to kill this father because, again, we're saying he's not a Rodef. And therefore you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat. You have to be Mechalel Shabbat in order to save the father's life. Okay, now, let's just mention, practically speaking over here, that there's a Tshuva de Radvaz. Radvaz in Chalek Aleph, Siman Shin Pei Het, says like this. He says that all this, everything we learned is halakha, but lema'aseh, he says, if the goyim, he says in his days, They had the upper hand, like today, like the goyim, they're the ones who judge the way they want, whoever they want. And what would, if according to their laws, if a person kills a rodef, so he himself would get killed. So the halacha is that there's no hayuv to kill a rodef. That's what the right. A person doesn't have to put himself in danger. doesn't have to endanger himself to save somebody else. So therefore, right. Even though, of course, there was a mitzvah to kill a rodef or mitzvah to kill a person who's baal machteret in order that he should not kill the other guy, the guy who's chasing, or the guy who's breaking into his house. But since according to the legal law, that's not permitted, and he's putting himself in danger from the government, or whatever it is, by doing this action, so he should try whatever he can to save him, but not do something that's going to endanger him, himself. Of course, if he's not going to come to endanger himself, so the halacha is going to apply, also today. That's what the Radva says, and that's how it practically applies to us. A person has to know, before he does anything, if there's any question of maybe he's putting himself in danger from getting punished by doing this action. If it is, so he shouldn't do it. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, like we said before, there are scenarios that would apply to our days also. Now this is going to be a third kind of Rodef. We spoke about the regular person who's chasing, we spoke about someone who's breaking into someone's house. Let's speak about another kind of Rodef, which is a very, very different, scenario, but this is also a halakha of Rodef. Now this is talking about a woman who's pregnant. A woman who's pregnant and the Shulchan Aruch speaks about when she's giving birth. While she's giving birth. So the Shulchan Aruch, Ha'obara shehi mekasha leled. A woman is giving birth and she has a lot of complications and we're scared over here for the mother's life. So what would be the halacha? Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchot Rodef, he says, Mutar lachtoch haubar b'me'eha ben besam ben b'yad. You're allowed to cut up the fetus inside the mother's womb, even whatever you do with your hand, or you do with some kind of other tool, whatever it is, some other kind of whatever it takes. You're allowed to do that. Says the Shulchan Aruch, why? Because this baby inside the mother's stomach is like a rodef that's killing somebody else. He's killing his mother. So he has halacha of a rodef, therefore you're allowed to kill him. Now, end of the Shulchan Aruch says, V'im hotzi rosho, en nogain bo. But if you already, if his head is already outside, and that means he has la halacha, he has a din of a person who's already born. He's already born, so then you're not allowed to touch him. You're not allowed to do anything to him. She'en dohin nefesh mepene nefesh v'zeh otim oshel olam. It's a natural thing right now. This is a natural zeh otim oshel olam. This is a natural thing that the person's born, and it could happen that the mother gets endangered, and there's no reason why we should kill the baby in order to save the mother. Now you're going to ask, that should also apply for when before he's born, that this is a natural thing, and you're right, he's not born yet, so why are we giving the baby halacha of rodef? This is a natural thing that happens all the time. So the answer is because before he's born, he doesn't really have a state of a nefesh. He's not called a real nefesh, a real somebody who's actually a completely alive person before he's born. And therefore, the mother's nefesh takes precedence over the baby's nefesh. He's not a complete nefesh, and therefore, we're allowed to kill him. But after he's born, then they're both called the nefesh, they're both called regular people who are alive, and we don't kill one person in order to save somebody else if it's a natural thing that's going on. It's not, you know, we're not talking about he's taking a knife and trying to kill his mother, he's just being born, yeah? What's he doing wrong? He's just trying to come out of his mother's stomach, and he's not, you know, of course he's not doing anything, so therefore, we don't kill him. Now, if we look closely here at what we said, it says over here that when the reason why you're allowed to kill this baby inside the mother's stomach before he's born, it doesn't just say because he's a nefesh, he's not a nefesh. It doesn't just say that. It also says more than that. It says because he's like a rodef. That means there's two reasons over here that are coming together. One reason is because he's not a nefesh yet. And that's why we're saying that if he's already a nefesh, he's already born, so you're not allowed to kill him. And dohin nefesh mipin a nefesh. But that's not enough just to say that he's not a nefesh. And that's not enough of a reason why to permit us to kill him. Also, the Shulchan Aruch gives another reason. This is B'Shem the Rambam. The other reason is because he's a rodef. He's a person who's chasing. He's a person who's killing somebody else. And that's the other reason. It's mashma in the Shulchan Aruch. Without that reason that he's killing somebody else, he's killing his mother, there will be no heter in the world to kill a baby who was not born yet inside the mother's stomach. Which, in other words, is saying that abortions are asur completely. There's no heter at all, and in a regular situation to go and abort. Now, why do we say a regular situation? The answer is because, like we just said, that whenever there's a sakana, whenever the mother is endangered and her life is endangered by having this baby inside her stomach, then there is a heter to abort. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says over here that if while she's giving birth, her life is endangered, and the only way to save her life is to kill the baby, then you're allowed to kill the baby. Or let's say she's still pregnant, maybe she's a few months pregnant, and for whatever reason, it's endangering her life to be pregnant. So, same thing applies, that if she's in danger, and we have to know, you know, it has to be clear to us from the doctors or whatever it is, you know, a person has to ask the rabbi and everything else. But if it's clear that the mother is in danger, then, yeah, you're allowed to abort, because since you have two things together, that he's a rodef, and plus he's not a nefesh, therefore you're allowed to, there's a lot to abort. But if he's not a rodef, just to abort without that factor that of rodef, just the fact that he's not a nefesh, he is called a nefesh, but not a complete nefesh, and according to Rov HaPoskim, there's a isur midoraita, a isur from the Torah to abort. That's the third kind of rodef, is a mother inside the mother, a baby inside the mother's stomach. Now, that's the overall halacha of rodef. There's other cases of rodef. We didn't speak about, there's rodef after arva, a person who's running after a woman to do an avera. Also, these halachot apply that you're allowed to kill this person and save the woman from this avera. It could be also rodef achar zachar. The same thing applies, unless it's a woman who, it's not a real arva. The avera of being with that woman is not a hayuv mita or not a hayuv karet. Then we don't say that. Then it's not a kind of rodef that would be allowed to kill him. Or let's say he's chasing after an animal to do an avera with an animal. That's also, we wouldn't kill him even though it's hayuv mita. But it also has to do with the fact, the reason why we're killing this guy, we're killing this rodef, is because what he's about to do to the woman. We don't care so much about the behemah as much as we care for the woman. So that's why we don't kill him if he's running after the behemah. And there's a lot of other patim in these halachot. We're not going to go into them right now. Okay, let's go me'inyan le'inyan ve'ozo inyan, that there is a halacha of a little bit has to do with hachnasat orhem. We know that Avraham Avinu had a hotel. The Torah says vayitav eshed bever shava, that Avraham Avinu made a hotel for all the orhem, for guests in his house. Now, what's eshed? Eshel, the Chachamim tell us, it's achila shtiya levaya, or some say achila shtiya lina. Eating, drinking, and levaya means to accompany the guest when he's leaving. Now, the Gemara in Sota says that, the Gemara has speaks in length about this mitzvah of levaya, of accompanying a guest, and the Gemara says that at least you have to accompany the guest for amot. And whoever doesn't do that, he's like a shofech damim, chas shalom. Because the Gemara says that by accompanying the guest, that's saving him from whatever whatever danger that could come to him during his trip. And it doesn't have to worry. It's not a natural thing. It's something like a segula that by accompanying him is going to save him from whatever it is, and therefore there's a hayuv to accompany the guest at least for amot. The Gemara speaks about even more. The Gemara says that for a rav should accompany his talmid, his student, at least 70 amot. That's the shi'ur of levaya for a rav to talmid. A friend should come accompany his friend 2,000 amot from Shabbat. A talmid should accompany his rav. A parsa is like a mile. It's four times more, 2,000 amot. And if it's rabo muvak, 3 miles, 3 parsaot. This is what the Gemara says. The Ramban brings it down. The Hafetz Chaim in the Sefer Ahavat Chesed doesn't understand it. I don't understand why people don't do these things today. Why don't people accompany each other? Whatever the Gemara says over here. So, happens to be that, I'll tell you a story, my great-great-grandfather, Chacham Yehoshua Sharabani, Alav HaShalom, he was one of the big Talmidim of the Ben Yishai, Alav HaShalom, Ben Yosef Chaim in Baghdad. And he was a Talmid over there in Baghdad, and at some point, Rabbi Yehoshua Sharabani traveled from Baghdad to Israel, to Yerushalayim, and he went to Porat Yosef, he was one of the rabbis of Porat Yosef. And when he left Baghdad, so the Ben Ish Chai accompanied him, like what the Gemara says, what a rabbi should accompany his Talmid, which is 70 amot, Iburash, 70 amot outside the city. So we see that the Ben Ish Chai did it. He actually did this, he followed this halakha. Hafez Chaim asked, I don't understand why people don't do this today. And then the Hafez Chaim says he found in the Poskim that say that people are usually muhel. They forgo this halakha. They're muhel on this kind of levaya. But as Hafez Chaim says, but that doesn't mean that the mitzvah doesn't exist. There's a hayuv to accompany your guest at least for amot. We know there's a mitzvah of agla arufa. Agla arufa means that when a person Chasav Shalom was found killed in the middle of the road or in the middle of the street or in the middle of the field, whatever it is outside the city. So, the closest city to this person who was killed, the Bedin of that city have to bring a calf, and they bring it down to a river with a strong stream, with water streaming very strongly, that's a Nahal Eitan, and they chop off the head of the calf, and they all say, Yadenu, We didn't kill this person. Yeah, the Bet Din, all the Zekanim, all the elders and all the Hachamim of that city come and say, by the way, you know, we didn't kill this person, of course. Well, did we think it's the elders of the city that came and killed this person? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masechet Sota that what they really mean to say is that he didn't come to our city, and we let him go without food, or we didn't let him go without a levaya. He never came to us, and we just let him go without accompanying him. And which was mashma that whoever doesn't accompany is like a shofech damim, someone who actually killed. So that's another way, like we said before, we're learning about Rodef. Rodef is to save the person who is being chased. So this is another way of saving someone. It's much easier. All you have to do is accompany the guy for Amot, and you're doing a big mitzvah of saving him. And this also pertains to this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha, it speaks about the halacha of Gid Anashe. Gid Anashe is a vein. Gid Anashe is a vein in the cows, or whatever it is, that in the back of the cow there's a Gid Anashe. You know, today the kosher meat is only from the front part of the cow. The entire part of the back part of the cow goes to the goyim, because we don't want to start looking after the Gid Anashe. It's too much of a hassle to take out the Gid Anashe. And now, why is there this mitzvah of Gid and Hashem? Because we all know, because Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach, and the Malach of Esav hit Yaakov on his Gid and Hashem, Kafa Yarech, and Yaakov was limping because of that, and the Torah says, Alken lo yochlu bnei Yisrael Gid and Hashem. So the Daat HaKenim explains that why is that a reason why we shouldn't eat the Gid and Hashem? Says the Daat HaKenim, because there was this whole thing started that Yaakov Avinu had to fight with Abalah because he crossed the river by himself in order to go get whatever was left. And really, what should have been was that his children should have accompanied him to go with him and not let him go himself. And the fact that he went himself, that's what caused this whole fight with the Malach and everything else. So it's like sort of a punishment that the Torah gave us, that we shouldn't be allowed to eat the Gid and Hashem in order for us not to do this again, and we should always be careful to do levaya and to accompany someone, not to get, he shouldn't get hurt, or he shouldn't get anything wrong happen to him. And that's why we also find, says the Daat HaKenim, we find that the Chachamim tell us that when Yaakov Avinu sent Yosef to go look for his brothers, and then the whole story happened that his brothers sold him and everything else. But we know that Yaakov then also, he learned a lesson over there. He learned this lesson that he should always accompany someone, and he really did accompany. He accompanied Yosef. It says, Vayishlahehu me'amek Hevron. He sent him from Hevron. So that sounds like he walked him all the way to Hevron, and then he sent him. So he did accompany him. And it still that happened that he ended up getting sold. But that's the mitzvah of Levaya, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should always keep all these mitzvot, and we should always not have any nezek, or these things shouldn't happen to us. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.
This audio series has been brought to you by the Sephardic Halakha Center. The center is committed to advancing research and application of halakha in the Sephardic community nationwide. For a halachic consultation, monetary Beit Din services, to order this series or to sign up to receive the Sephardic Halakha Journal, or for all other information, please call 1-844-200-TSHC or email info@theshc.org to subscribe.